You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If the blood-thinning drug Xarelto cause you serious bleeding problems, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Very excited to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline. You can always visit them at ohiobusinessmachines.com to bring in Eric Branch from the San Francisco Chronicle. And you follow him on Twitter at Eric_Branch. Eric, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much for being with us. Let's just start with obviously the big topic probably in your neck of the woods and in ours as well. Warriors, Cavaliers, what's the feeling in the Bay Area right now?
Oh, I am so locked in on the 49ers OTAs and mandatory minicamp. I have no time for anything else. No,
well, I'm sure it's riveting there.
No, absolutely. You can't miss this stuff. I grew up a huge Laker fan as a kid, but now living in the Bay Area, I'm now following this with interest. So I'm kind of just rooting for the underdog, though. I have no ties to the Warriors. So I think it would be pretty fascinating if LeBron and the other players they have could pull this off, and it would be a real testament to his greatness. So not that the guy surrounding LeBron James can't play, but I think when you look at just the rosters, it would be pretty stunning if the Cavs can pull it off. So that's kind of the way I'm moving.
Has the fan base there got it all a little bit uptight with the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers were able to put together and scramble and fight, you know, shooting less than 33% and take a game at Oracle Arena?
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the cover of the sports page of the San Francisco Chronicle, and it says it's no time to panic. So that just indicates to me that at least the conversation the conversation is starting. Do we need to panic? No, it's no time to panic. So listen, if the Cavs win tonight, I think some people can press the panic button around here. But I think just as a casual NBA observer, I'm not sure Steph Curry is going to shoot like that again. And so that could be a problem for the Cavs. But you could always hope that, he is not built like LeBron James. And maybe 100-plus NBA games could have taken their toll. I'm not sure about that, but that's a theory that some Cavs fans might like to hear.
Eric, before we get to the new Cleveland Brown, Andy Lee, that was acquired via trade with San Francisco 49ers, just touch upon all that has transpired with San Francisco with, multiple players, Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, now Anthony Davis retiring, and also the hiring of Jim Tomasula and how they've looked out there in OTAs.
Well, yeah, as far as the losses, and I mean, some you could have seen coming, when their season ended. It was kind of expected a guy like Frank Gore might sign elsewhere, and then you say, well, they've got a young running back, Carlos Hyde, to replace him. But, obviously, as everyone is pretty well aware of now, there have been some really unexpected losses. They're going to be tough to guys that are going to be tough to replace. Chris Borland retiring, obviously Friday, Anthony Davis, the right tackle, retiring, Justin Smith leaving, that was somewhat expected, but still, that's a guy you have to, I'm not sure if the next Justin Smith, even, the 34-year-old Justin Smith, who wasn't quite the same guy, but, that's still a pretty a stout guy on their defensive line. Then, of course, Patrick Willis, who, pretty good player right there, and Justin Smith and Patrick Willis and even Frank Gore, those are three Hall of Fame candidates. I mean, that's some serious star power. And, I failed to mention Mikey Potty, who's a three-time Pro Bowl left guard. So obviously, that's a lot of talent they've lost. It's not like they haven't brought anyone in. But the ledger is far on the side of talent loss and, by guys that they brought in. So it's going to be a real challenge for Jim Tomasula. I guess on the bright side for him, the expectations are
much lower.
Much lower. And if they go 8-8 again, I think people will say, hey, no, that was a decent job.
What happened with Harbaugh and Jed York, and what went down that you get rid of a coach who was that successful? I know that there clearly were personality clashes, but at the end of the day, when all the dust is settled, what do you make of what did go down with the 49ers?
Well, I just think there was a real personality clash. I'm not sure. And again, this is more me reading the tea leaves, but Jim Harbaugh, really was into his football guys, and that was the players and the coaches. And so I'm sure there were times where the owner of the team wasn't shown the respect you might think a coach would give an owner. And again, I have no specifics or details, but that is my perception of things. You know, I think Trent Baalke, the GM, and Harbaugh, while they butted heads, I think there was some mutual respect there, and that was a relationship that could have been ongoing. But, the owner is the guy that signs the checks and makes the decisions, and, he wanted a new guy there. So I really think that the way that relationship deteriorated is what led to Harbaugh's exit.
Eric, I spent time there in 2009 in training camp in 2010, and both as a special teamer and as a backup behind Patrick Willis with the San Francisco 49ers, and got to earn the respect and understand how great and what an asset Andy Lee is. So give the Cleveland Browns fans who, were sad to see Spencer Lanning, a very good punter and welcomed in this community for a few years as the punter, what they're getting in a three-time Pro Bowler and multi-all-pro player, Andy Lee?
Well, yeah. I mean, you just look at the numbers and what he's done, and, he ranks top 10 in NFL history in net average and gross average, and really has shown no signs of, slowing down. Last year, his net was a little down, and sometimes you just have to look into that number. He did have a punt blocked, and it was no fault of his own, just tremendous blocking. And, so that skewed his numbers, slightly. But, yeah, he was Andy Lee again. As you know, when you have a good punter, can really change field position. So the 49ers wouldn't have gotten rid of Andy Lee, but they signed him to a generous contract extension for a punter a couple of years ago. He was going to make, count about $2.5 million against the salary cap this year, and that number was just going to keep going up until in the final year of his deal. And I think he was going to be 35; it would be about $4 million. So, they drafted a punter in the fifth round, Bradley Pinion, Clemson. He was the first punter off the board, and he's going to make less than $500,000. So it was. Certainly a strictly a business decision. And, the 49ers got a look at Pinion in off-season workouts, and, they determined that, okay, this guy's legit. What he did in college was going to translate over to the NFL. And I think at that time they started looking for suitors, for Andy Lee. And it's tough to get, much of a market for a guy who, all the league knows is going to be released. They got, a 2017 seventh rounder, which isn't much for, a Pro Bowl punter, but, that's what the market was going to yield, again, for a guy who, they knew, the rest of the league knew wasn't going to be on the team.
When you look at this 49ers team, obviously undergoing many, many transformations, but still the quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, he came under a lot of criticism last year. How has he looked so far this offseason as somebody who wants to, I very much know, silence the critics and be that franchise quarterback?
Well, I think time will tell. I'm not, like most people, I'm not putting much stock into how he's throwing against, no pass rush. And,
sure.
Everyone going half speed. He did do a lot of work in the off season with a quarterback coach in Phoenix, and that includes some work with Kurt Warner. And so he has, tightened up his throwing motion, which is pretty elongated. And it is a little more compact now. So again, let's see until, let's wait until week one to see, how much that work has benefited him. But, you know, it surely, you know, can't hurt, one would think. So, again, we'll see how that goes.
Eric, my last question for you is, how ready is the city of San Francisco and the new Levi Stadium there as well in the Bay Area to host Super Bowl 50? Is there a buildup there, and is the city very aware of what this means both locally for the economy as well as nationally in the NFL, choosing San Francisco to host the 50th Super Bowl in San Francisco?
Yeah, well, they're getting some practice with big events, obviously with the World Series being here with the Giants and now with the NBA Finals with the Warriors. So, you know, this is obviously different and maybe in some ways on a different scale than those events. But, yeah, I mean, there is a bit of a build-up. News trickles out here and there, you know. Okay, that, you know, the teams are going to stay here and they're going to train here. And but, you know, at this point, there's still not a whole lot of talk. And probably one of the reasons is because a lot of people are pretty focused on what we began the conversation with, the Warriors and Cavaliers.
What's your sense of tonight's game for the Warriors and Cavs? If you're calling your shot, who's getting it done?
I'm just going with my heart. And again, I don't have a real dog in the race, but I'm going with the Cavs.
Yeah.
And again, I just, you know, they don't play. That is not a pretty style necessarily. And you know, the Warriors, when they're right, I mean, it is kind of like a symphony, the way they whip the ball around and can shoot it, and it really is pretty. It's kind of going back to my childhood watching Showtime with the Lakers, but in some ways. But anyway, like I said, my heart's with the underdog here. So as much as, you know, LeBron James is not really an underdog type figure, but I think, you know, given the surrounding cast, you know, no one's going to bet on LeBron and the Cavs outside of Cleveland, perhaps.
Eric, we very much appreciate the time. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to probably seeing you in the middle of the season when the 49ers make their way out here to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I might bring a coat and a winter hat.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit chilly, I would imagine. Yes, indeed. All right, thank you.
Y'all.
Enjoy the game tonight, and appreciate your time. All right, when we come back, we're going to finish up our first hour here. We'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Let's talk about the Cavs. Call your shots. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You can take a break.